Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Luke 2. Some of you looking at this may feel a certain sense of horror that we're going to talk about Christmas. Doesn't the man have a calendar? What is going on? Folks, this is God's word, and it is true all year long. And we should be giving thanks all year long for the miracle of God choosing to become a man. The incarnation, the word becoming flesh. God became one of us in order to save us. And so, in Luke 2, 1 through 20, this is God's word. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
When you look back on your life, who comes to mind as someone who helped you when you struggled? You have the opportunity to be that person for a child in crisis. A growing number of people are committing to leave a gift in their will to organizations who care for children who are searching for healing and hope. Ware's Valley Ranch is that place, and the healing and hope are found in Christ. After your family is cared for, would you please consider including a gift in your will to Ware's Valley Ranch? When you do, you will become a member of Legacy 145, declaring Yahweh to the next generation. Learn more about Legacy 145 by going to wvr.org and click on the link. Again, the link for Legacy 145 can be found on our website at wvr.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out.
So you're going to have a baby.
But the waves are calling out my
now,
name and they laugh.
About half of you in this room can relate to that in a way that some of us cannot. I have been the grateful father of several children, three biological children, and I was there for the birth of each one. I also have adopted children, and I didn't get to be there for the birth, but the adoption process is a little like going through labor. So in any case, I will tell you that I have a man's perspective on what this is like, and I thank God I'm a man. It is not easy to birth a child. And the labor that women go through before the child is delivered is significant, let us say. My wife was 12 hours into labor with our son Paul, our first child, and they realized something wasn't right, and so they wanted to take her down the hall to have an x-ray done, and as they were walking her down the hall, the doctor, who was not very tall, was on one side, and she had her arm over his shoulder, and I don't remember if I was on this side or if some orderly was, but in any case, they're taking her down the hallway. I'm walking along either next to her or on the other side. I believe that it was an orderly on this side because when a sudden pain hit, she nearly took the doctor's head off. Okay? Her arm went from like this to like this, and we're fortunate that he lived to deliver the child. But in any case, the reason she did that was not cruelty. It was an involuntary response to excruciating pain. Okay? Mary is about to have a child. Toward the end of the pregnancy, doctors recommend you not travel. They had to travel. They had to travel because that foreign dictator in Rome, miles away and a whole culture away, had decreed everybody needs to go to their home and register for the census. So what do? You obey the law. And so they traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem because Joseph and Mary were both of the house and lineage of David. It would be Joseph's family that would have to be the location. But they travel. They travel right at the end of the pregnancy. Horribly inconvenient. Now, I would think, if I was writing this, that God would cut them some slack and at least give them good transportation and a nice place to stay when they get there. But when they got there, the 800 number had not been working, and they weren't able to make a reservation online. Hope you understand that none of that existed back then. And so they show up in Bethlehem, and the place is jammed because of this census thing going on. People are coming from all over the place to register for the census there in Bethlehem, and there's no room for them in the inn. Now, if I'm Joseph, I'm feeling embarrassed that I can't make something happen. If I'm Mary, I'm having labor pains, okay? She's hurting. He's never been through this. She's never been through this. She's about to have a baby. I don't want to have it here. Okay? So they're given the opportunity to stay apparently where the animals stayed. Because when the child is born, he's placed in a manger, a feeding trough. What kind of welcome is that? This is God's son coming into the world. And his first bed is a feeding trough for animals? That hardly seems appropriate. But you see, this child was born to die. The reason for his coming was in order for him to be the one who would live a sinless life that would then be offered as the perfect sacrifice, that all the other sacrifices, including all those lambs, had pointed to. If I was Joseph, I would not understand that. And I would not understand in this moment why God is leaving me in this situation. If I was Mary, I would be trying very hard to praise the Lord as I'm giving birth to this child. God was at work in this situation. God had already decreed that this child, who would be the Messiah, was going to be born in Bethlehem. Born of a virgin in Bethlehem. And God worked out the details. Joseph didn't say, honey, how about if we go to Bethlehem and have the baby there? God said, I'll get him there. And he did. Even though it meant tons of other people having to travel too. Even though it meant that all across the Roman Empire, tons of folks were going to be inconvenienced. God did what it took, even using a pagan king, in order to have the Messiah born where God had said the Messiah would be born. Let me just tell you something. God is working out the details. The main point today is this. God is always working everything together for the good of those who love him and keeping all his promises in detail. We're not the one who keeps his promises. He keeps his promises, and he does it in detail. God had decreed where the child would be born. God made it happen. Horribly inconvenient for the mom and dad, but it was what needed to be. So, God is always working everything together for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. But he's not only working it all for our good, he's working it in accordance with what he has said ahead of time, what he has promised, down to the detail. One of the evidences that Jesus is, in fact, the Messiah is the prophecies he fulfilled. God made it happen. They didn't understand at the time, but God knew what he was doing. Now, did Jesus control where he was born? Not exactly, but his father did. His Father in heaven worked out the details. And so, when the child is born, placed in a manger, wrapped in strips of cloth, now we're going to get some sleep. Well, some shepherds show up during the night because while they were out in the fields keeping watch over their sheep, there in the night, by the way, being a shepherd is a hard job. Our sheep are fairly low maintenance here, okay? But that's in part because we have some safeguards that protect them from things like wolves. When it's cold outside, where are the sheep? Outside. Where are the shepherds? Outside with the sheep. If it rains, where are the sheep? Outside. Where are the shepherds? Outside. But here's what's going on. These shepherds have done the same thing day after day, month after month, year after year, and suddenly something happens that's never happened before. It's not just that it hadn't happened to them. It had never happened before. An angel of the Lord showed up, verse 9, and appeared to them. Now, notice that expression. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. Sometimes there are angelic presences that don't appear to us. The fact that we don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. But an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they said, "This is beautiful." No, they were terrified. Remember in the earlier chapter? What does the angel say when he appears to Zechariah? Don't be afraid. What does the angel say when he appears to Mary? Don't be afraid. Why do angels have to keep saying that to people? Over and over, when angels show up, they have to tell people, don't be afraid. Because it's scary, okay? This angel shows up and says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. God has good news, and he spreads it to everybody. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ. He is the Messiah, the Lord. I mean, this is what these shepherds, who were Jewish, had been told about when they were kids. Someday God will send us the Anointed One who will deliver us. Someday God will send the Messiah who will change everything. He will save us. And they wanted that. They wanted somebody who could deliver them from the oppression of Rome. Now, we said when we looked in the previous chapter at what John the Baptist was going to do, he was going to tell them about how to be set free from their sins. Because that's really what we need to get free from. There are people in prison who have come to know Jesus and are now more free than the jailers. Okay? Well, I think there's some jailers who know Jesus. Yes, there are, definitely. But what I'm saying is, real freedom is not about whether you're on this side of the bars or whether you're on that side of the bars. Real freedom is about your relationship with God. If you know him, you are free no matter what the circumstances. If you don't know him, you are in bondage. No matter how much money you've got, no matter how many likes you get on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or whatever, the fact of the matter is your relationship with God is the only thing that's going to last eternally. Everything else is going to go away. So, this is good news of great joy. It'll be for all the people. The Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And here's how you can recognize him. You go to Bethlehem, and he will be there in a manger. If Jesus had been in the presidential suite, the shepherds couldn't have gotten in. They couldn't. Instead, because Jesus was out there with mom and dad and the animals, the shepherds were able to walk right up and fit right in, okay? They spend their time around animals. And they show up, and there is Mary and Joseph and the baby who's wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And so they shared what they had just experienced, this encounter with an angel, and then with an angelic chorus, there was a great host. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared. Notice again that word appeared. Appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Now, that was the message from the angels. What was their response to the word of God? Remember Zechariah's response? How can I know this is really going to happen? And so he lost the power to speak. Remember Mary's response? She said, how's this going to happen? That's different. Zechariah was like, I'm not sure. Mary was like, I don't understand. What did these guys say? They really responded to the word of God in the right way. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that we've been told about. No. Let's go and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hadn't been there. They hadn't seen it yet. But they wanted to go see this thing that has happened. How'd they know it had happened? Because the angel said so. When they heard the word of the Lord, they believed it. That's an example of faith. Why did the Lord send his angels to appear to these shepherds? Well, because God knows the end from the beginning. And God knew that these fellows were going to receive his word with faith. Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. The Messiah has come, the one who was promised. God sent angels to tell these shepherds that salvation is now here in the person of Jesus Christ. That's fabulous. So, please notice, they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. What do you do with the word of God? You believe it, you act on it, and then you spread the word. This is how we should be living, like these shepherds. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. They told her too. And the shepherds returned, they went back to work with the sheep, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, and here's the last point, which were just as they had been told. You will see that phrase repeated in the Gospels. God says something, and when people believe it and act on it, they find that it's exactly like God said. God is always working everything together for the good of those who love him and keeping all his promises in detail. It's exactly what was promised. The dates, the places, the events, it's exactly as God said. God hasn't changed. He's still keeping his promises today. I hope that you will believe his word, act on it, and then spread the word to others. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you meet with us when we meet in your name. We thank you that you are here right now and that those who want to know you can know you. And we thank you for the certainty that everything you've promised will happen just as you promised. So help us to trust you, help us to obey, and help us to share your love with others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.